here we go.
Yeah. And hit records on my demo. Did y'all boys not get the memo? I do not stay at the Intercontinental. And anything I got is not a rental. I own that mom. Figured out this shit is simple. My stock been going up like a crescendo.
This for me though. I'm just trying to stay alive and take care of my people. And they don't have no award for that. Trophies, trophies, and they don't have no award for that. Shit don't come with trophies, ain't no envelopes to open. I just do it cause I'm supposed to.
And we're back for week two. So this week we're joined by Domi, aka John, but we don't call him that. Domi the boss. Guys, what do they call it at the office?
JG,
okay. So we got Domi this week. We're back for the Willie and Dick picks, week number two for college football picks.
Domi's live from the office.
Domi's live from the office. Will, where are you live from this week?
I'm reporting live from the O.
Live from the Big O is Chuck. He's had to relocate a couple times this evening, so he's situated now. I am reporting live from Richmond, upstairs in Charlie's lair. All right, so we're going to go ahead and recap last week. So last week, Chuck went ahead and took the lead with our first week. So Chuck went 9-5. I went – did I update the standings? Yeah, so I went 7-7.
No. Chuck started off at 9-5. Then we had Kurtz holding it up at 9-5, too. We got Blizzy Block holding it down at 7-7. And Sally holding it up for Swag U. Put your Swag U's up at 6-8.
U's are all the way up. Subs went 3-0 and then didn't turn any more picks in. And then RJ didn't really answer the question asked, so he didn't really pass the test, but he went 3-3. But we want to give RJ a shout-out for listening to all of our betting advice, because according to Evan, he had a really good week. The picks he texted in to us, he went 5-4, but apparently he did really good outside of those picks. So good luck to RJ for this upcoming week. Hopefully our betting advice goes well. In our $1,000 allotment pool, Salil did really well. Salil took his $1,000 and he turned it into $381. So, you know, Sally's just doing the engineer thing, just automating things and just making money.
Don't quit that day job, Sally.
No. For some people, not getting the sarcasm, he didn't make $300 on top of his $1,000. He literally turned $1,000 into $381.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. So Chuck ended up leading the pack this week. On the games that Chuck bet on, he went 5-3. Chuck ended up making $1,241, so he made a $241 profit. I made a whopping
24.1% for y'all counting at home.
Correct. I went 4-3 in my bets, but I only made $50. So I have now $1,050 going into week two. So me and Chuck are still above water. Me, not really all that much, but still hanging around.
That's piss poor planning, dude.
Piss poor.
We'll go over why it didn't go so well here in our recap section. But before we get to the recap section, I want to announce that I've done some marketing this week. I've taken the podcast a little bit further than the five people that actually listen to it. And I went out and got some sponsorships. So that way we can try to continue to promote the podcast. We can get Will to stop laying in his bed and podcasting. And we might be able to get some microphones. So, our first sponsor this week is the Olive Branch. So, when you need some great fresh food, head over to the Olive Branch. For breakfast, try some fantastic specialty coffee and stuffed French toast. Lunch is a can't miss with sandwich and soup. You're on your own for dinner, but that shouldn't be an issue after you inhale 25 cupcake balls. Come to the Olive Branch and let Leah Stewart treat you right. If you don't, Troy Baker might actually hurt you. The Olive Branch, where great food doesn't need olives. So, for week one, the first game we had was UNC South Carolina, which I now wish I could have those couple hours that I caught the game back. It was really just a boring-ass game. South Carolina came all the way back. They ended up winning by 4. So, personally, I lost because I bet on UNC to cover, and they had the lead, and then they just were terrible. Maurice Williams went out of the game. That didn't work out so well. Will, what about the second game of the night?
What was the second game?
Second game would be Michigan-Utah.
I did not actually watch that game, do you?
Hey, Will, why didn't you watch that game?
I was watching the khaki cam.
Well, you sound like Paul Feinbaum right now. They asked him about a Pac-12 game, and he was like, oh, we get Pac-12 games. They're like, did you watch it? He was like, no, I was watching the SEC game.
I was watching Big Ten games.
Woo, riveting. Actually, it was a Big Ten game. Michigan's a bigger name school than Minnesota.
I was a bit busy watching Minnesota.
Mm. All right, so anyway, so Utah ended up doing really well. They took out Michigan. Michigan's quarterback situation is still a Michigan quarterback situation kind of game. Utah ended up covering the spread pretty easily, so they won that game. Will, what about the game you were watching?
TCU Minnesota, the Gophers, the best team in the Big Ten, which is the best conference in the country. The Gophers
starting
held
off
their
mighty 0-1.
Mighty 0-1. Valiant effort. This was a little later in the season. There was some snow coming down. No doubt in my mind that the Gophers hung on to win that game. But they fell a little bit short, but did cover the spread. What was the spread? 17? Oh, shoot, my dogs. But the dogs were at the office barking at me.
Are they fans that Minnesota covered?
Yeah, they're fans that Minnesota covered. It kind of goes back to what I had said. TCU is overrated piece of garbage. Minnesota, Big Ten, best conference in the country.
I think that's verbatim what you said.
Exactly. That's why I made $241, D-Block.
Chuck, would you say TCU is more overrated than Swag U?
Yes.
All right.
Would you like to expound upon why?
Because Salil is on that team. And Salil is a piece of garbage football player.
It's hot analysis for you guys. Domi, what about the next game? Were you fanned out?
Fanned out? What game would that have been?
Friday night?
The Baylor game?
That's the only game I watch, Blizzy.
That's the game we're talking about.
Am I supposed to have notes? Does Will have notes?
Will never has notes.
I'm winging it.
We got the Baylor game. I didn't watch anything of the Baylor game. All I watched was your boy JS walking in, straight G, first pass, touchdown, mic drop, game over.
The game was already over by the time he was in, but that's accurate.
Nope, not at all.
Not at all.
Dude, the line was still in question.
I know, I missed that line.
The line was in question. You know what was better?
Was JS
telling people to get a hold while Seth Russell was running for a touchdown so he could come in the game and throw a touchdown pass. Conspiracy theory? I don't know.
We'll have to find out against Lamar.
We'll see how fast he gets in.
Speaking of how fast, so after the BU game...
Is there even a spread on that game?
Yeah, it was 36. They didn't cover.
No. Baylor-Lamar.
No, I couldn't find one.
No.
So, after the Baylor game, I was racing home because I actually bet on Boise. So, I was racing home and, like, listening to the game. They had a 13-0 lead at half. Get home, and they don't score another point. So, they ended up not covering. And they were up 16-0. Washington ended up coming back and just losing by 3. I think that's right.
Yep, 16-13.
Yeah. So Boise ended up not covering the 12, so that was another miss for me. Chuck, Standard. What about the game that you didn't go to in the town that you live in?
Northwestern Wildcats. Again, best conference in the country. Big Ten football. Wildcats roar! They shut down the Stanford mighty Cardinal, and they managed to outscore them in the SATs by, what was that, like 10 points. Northwestern with the big upset of the weekend. Zoe, stop.
Domi?
Zoe. Oh, you just said Domi, stop.
My dogs ran in here when I started to roar.
Do you blame Domi?
Domi, knock it off.
All right, so the next game.
I do regret not going to the game, though, Dia. You made a good call on that one last week.
I did. Even though I picked Stanford, I thought it'd be a fun game. So we tried to rope in Sally to come and talk about Wofford covering the 39.5, but Sally again got sick tonight, so couldn't make it. So, but he did want to say that Clemson really let him down, and that just made him look really bad with betting. He's getting a lot of crap at work for being our Wofford correspondent, but he is going to be automating his messages to the podcast going forward. So Domi, what about, did you watch Virginia-UCLA at all?
No.
No. Will?
Negative.
Okay.
But you know what? Their quarterback did tear it up, though.
He did.
Freshman quarterback. This Chucky's boy.
Chuck didn't watch the game, so.
Josh Rosen, boss.
All right, so here's the thing, though. So we're all going to claim that Josh Rosen is great, but we should also point out they didn't cover the spread versus Virginia.
We should also point out that he's not as great as your boy Stidham.
Well, one's starting and one's not, so we'll see.
We'll see in the long run, Blake.
I know. Domi's all in. Golden Boy Promotions.
We'll catch back up with you, Domi, in 4 years.
we'll catch up in 2019.
I'll talk about it on my podcast in 4 years when I'm running a podcast and you guys are sitting around just listening to me.
We might take notes on your podcast.
Yeah, well, Chuck's already got half of my notes.
You did send them to him.
Those are the only notes I got.
So, Domi, did you watch Louisville-Auburn?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did.
Any thoughts on that one?
Wait, did I watch that? They ran a two quarterback system, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that game. I got no thoughts.
So Louisville covered the spread. So that's pretty much all we got on that one. BYU Nebraska. Whitney was watching the game with her parents, came back home, and I was like watching the game. I bet on BYU in the money line. They threw a Hail Mary, won. I went nuts. Almost ended up in the doghouse, but didn't. So.
Shout out to the doghouse.
Shout out to the doghouse. Hey, buddy. We're going to have a doghouse team of the week. So this week we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
I didn't read my note.
Domi, did you watch A&M versus Arizona State?
Partially. I was drunk by then.
Do you have any drunken thoughts on it?
Nope.
Okay. Arizona State ended up getting their ass kicked here in Texas. A&M has a hell of a pass rush. Kyler Murray, like, so far can't really throw the ball, but he's fast as hell. So
Domi did call a play before it happened.
You did. You didn't even know what you called because I texted you. You were so lost, but you did call it. It took me 20 minutes to explain what you had said.
I'd been drinking, Blizzy.
So I'm going to guess it means you didn't watch any of Texas-Notre Dame.
I did see part of that game because I got to give a shout-out to my boy Dwight Allison, former Baylor nutrition coach, now at Notre Dame, getting them boys ready for your UT.
Didn't work out very well for him, huh?
It did. He works for Notre Dame.
Will.
Oh, I think he said he was at UT.
For the UT game.
So, Dome, you got any inside information about why he left for Notre Dame?
Let's just not talk about this on the podcast.
Chuck, did you watch Bama versus the Buzzcuts?
I did not.
Blizzy, for that insider information, people have to pay extra for that podcast. It's kind of like Griff.
It's kind of like what?
It's kind of like Griff when he pays for his sites.
You mean like the site that I write for?
No, the Aggie site.
Well, no, Griff. But my site's
Griff pays for a couple kinds of sites.
Oh, Greasy. All right, so Bama ended up rolling the Buzzcuts. Will, did your future Miss Hornbuckle say anything about the Buzzcuts?
No, she didn't give a shit about football.
No dice. Okay, you guys probably know more about the next game because I didn't watch it. Ohio State versus Vata. Is that all we got? We got a yell?
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yep, gobble got rolled. All right, so anyway.
Blizzy, what kind of comments do you have on the running back from Ohio State?
Ezekiel Elliott, he needs more touches. Oh, you're talking about the guy from Georgia Southern, Matt Brizzle or whatever? I looked up his stats afterward. He did not look all that good.
No, I'm talking about the running back that wore the gold watch.
Oh, I mean, you know, when you're getting your stipend now, you can go out and buy a gold watch. I also would kind of think that that means you're not playing, but he actually played, so.
He played, dude. But he was wearing it's a plastic watch. Everybody thought it was a Rolex. What a Rolex. It's just a G-Shock watch.
Look, when you lose by 3 to 4 touchdowns, you can't wear any watches the next week.
He's got to know what time it is for his ass beat.
When you're getting your ass kicked, it doesn't matter what time it is, you're just getting your ass kicked. Like, it really doesn't matter what time. Oh, it's 5 o'clock, it's 7. No, you're just getting rolled.
That's true. We'll get Matt to comment on that next time I whoop his ass.
Find out next week. All right, so we have Domi on to kind of walk us through tailgating season, kind of give us the Waco Bar Report. But before we do, Chuck has our ad from our second sponsor to read tonight.
Our second sponsor is brought to you by Bush's Chicken. Living in the Big O, there are things about Texas I miss. Sweet tea on a hot summer day, hot rolls with honey, and of course, fried chicken. But what I miss most is Bush's chicken gravy. It warms my belly and I could drink it for days. So what if the drive-thru is slow and inefficient? The chicken and gravy always makes me feel a burning sensation for more. Get your Bush's chicken today.
Will, you're the worst actor out there.
can I try that one more time from the top?
No, I think we're good.
We're good, dude. We're good. Bush is gonna love what they paid for that one.
I know. They just handed me some money. They're like, hey, D, I need you to write some copy. So that's what I came up with. All right, so Domi, let's kick it to you for your Waco Bar Report.
The Waco Bar Report. Let me get my notes. Will, do you have my notes on that?
Trojans.
Will's leading me on this cover. I don't know about Trojans. I don't go there anymore. What you got next, Will?
Jorge's.
I don't go there. Try again.
Shorty's.
I will give a shout-out to Shorty's. I'm actually giving a shout-out to one of the new owners, Kyle. I told him today that I'd give him a shout-out in hopes that he'd become our next sponsor. So I'm giving them a shout out.
Square
Shorty's
Bar.
It's always good. Oh, Square Bar. Square Bar doesn't exist, but we do have Coach's Barbecue in their place.
I thought it's called Coach's Smoke.
Coach's Smoke. Triple X.
Does it actually have a triple X on it?
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, dude. That's my spot, dude. Dude, I'll tell you that Twin Peaks is so packed, people were dying to get in. Mm.
That's where Domi learned to ride his first bike without training wheels.
Chuck, I gave you one job, Chuck. Scruffs. I thought you were going to hit me. No, Chuck, you must be saving it up. I went to Scruffs on Sunday, and for those who have Snapchat, could have gotten a good Snapchat from me and Phil. Let's just say we were the only ones in the parking lot when we went there.
It was Muddle. Dead.
Muddle. Don't go there. Try again.
Barnett's.
Barnetti's! Chucky, you failed me on bringing up Barnett's the first
time. I was setting up D-Block for that one.
Setting Blizzy, I was waiting. You know, Barnett's, you guys are going to love that spot. They got good bottomless mimosas on the weekends. We're going to take you guys there. We're going to get them bottomless mimosas. We might have Hash picking up some chicks, seeing if he can get them bottomless. Shout out to Trash Fingers. What else we got? We got a new spot.
Salty Dog?
True Love. No. We're going to hit you up with a new spot here. A new bar you guys haven't been to. You've passed it many times. It's a hipster bar. Kirch is going to love it because it's a hipster bar. Might have him ending up in the doghouse. Not to be confused with Salty Dog or the doghouse bar. Okay. True Love's a good spot. Got a lot of good craft beers. Canned craft beers.
Chili's.
They got my favorite bartender in all of Waco. It's this dude with the Baylor hat. I'm just kidding. This is my friend Chelsea that works out there. She'll hook you up with some good beers.
Like what?
I've been sipping on a Barton Springs pale ale, and then another beer that's called the Lazy River. It's a pretty damn good beers there.
Oh, we didn't throw what we're sipping on now. Domi, what are you drinking?
Sipping on two Dos Equis at the office.
Solid. I got a Carbox Sympathy for the lager. Chuck, what do you got?
I need some extra electrolytes. I'm sporting the Gatorade tonight.
God damn it.
So back to the bar report. What else you got, Carson?
That's all we got, man. What else do you want to know? I hang out a lot of times at True Love. But keep it real there.
All right, so since True Love is the new spot, we might be seeing it this weekend, so which is one of the reasons we asked Garza on this week. So Garza is our tailgate host. So every week, we pretty much every year for most weeks, we end up...
Actually, I would like to interrupt, Dia. You don't know about this.
Uh-oh.
But I do have a sponsor for our tailgate.
Nice. Okay.
I'd like to read a little copy, if I can, from our sponsor, see if that's all right with you.
We'll allow it.
All right. Our sponsor for our tailgate is going to be all year long. It's going to be Trojan Condoms. Trojan Condoms. That's not my brand, Brad. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Can't wait to see that sign up every week.
That'll go. I actually did have that. Last year, I had a friend of mine approach me and asked me. He had trouble finding our tailgate spot. I mean, it's kind of difficult to be like, hey, we've got two Baylor flags, you know, flying in the air because everybody's got that. So my actual plan this year, I need to get this okayed with a few people in the tailgate, is to get a big sign that we make, that we fly up in the air, that just says the G-spot, you know, for Garza, since I'm the host of the tailgate. But below it, it's got the tagline that says, because it's hard to find. Marinate on that one.
We'll let that marinate. Don't really know how that's going to play, considering we're probably we probably got a couple eyes on us already, if you will.
The eyes be watching.
Will, are you eating a bag of chips?
Nope.
Okay.
If there's a noise, it's coming from Chuck.
All right, so the G-spot idea is on the board. It may come off the board, but it's on there currently. It's like a felt board.
Felt board. You mean dry erase board.
Well, you can also use a felt board. But anyway. So back to where we're going with this. So we asked Domi to come on and kind of talk about tailgating. And since we kind of destroy his house every year, we all feel bad and we apologize a lot. And then we do it again the next year. I wanted Domi to come on and kind of like tell us about his predictions for this year, but also it's award season, so Domi has some awards he wants to hand out for last season. So, Domi, I'll let you take it.
So, if this worked out all right, if Blizzy was able to figure this out, I'm not a fortune teller, but the intro song is Trophies by Drake. And it's by design, because Domi's a marketing genius here. So, starting off with my 2014 awards for tailgate last year. I'm going to start off with a very soft, you know, quiet award that I'm calling the Mama's Boy Award. And this award goes out to the individual that had his mom at the tailgate more often than anybody else that has ever had at a tailgate. That's a shout out to Dub and Austin for having Joan at the tailgate, hooking us up with some fat food, some ribs, something good every time. So I'm giving a big shout out to Dub. All right, so next we've got what I'm calling the best Halloween costume. And to note, surprise, this is going to go to Evan when he dressed up in a cat outfit and went out in public thinking that everybody else was going to be dressed up. But you know what? Evan dressed up as a pussy so that he could get the pussy from Taylor. Now, we don't know if he did or not, and I'm not making any predictions on that. I don't know what the over-under is, but I'm giving a big award to Evan on that one right there.
And it's worth pointing out, Evan was the only one who got dressed up that night.
Mm-hmm. Eric was dressed up, but he found no way out of it.
Yeah, he said he was Elmer Fudd and he just wore a button-down lumberjack shirt.
We've got the what I'm calling the most outrageous moment of a tailgate. There were a lot of close calls there. Hash had a lot of them, as you can imagine.
I would have never guessed.
But in shocking fashion, Evan started off the tailgating season strong by jumping in the water and starting off a nice little friendship with Taylor, as we will say. As a matter of fact, I got a special guest here for us tonight. We've got Taylor coming in as a special guest. Everybody, welcome Taylor to the podcast.
I'm just kidding. She's not here.
Well, we'll find out if Evan's actually saying, Garza, what the heck?
He made it like 20 minutes last week, so who knows?
He did. I really did think about calling Taylor and having her accept the award today. Then I've got...
Did you reach out to her? Let us know what she says.
Yeah, we're probably not going to find out. We've got what I call the most interesting guest of all the tailgates. We got a lot of randoms that come out.
Was it,
you know,
Will?
We've got, like, Cat Pad bringing, like, Callie, who brings some other friend, who brings somebody else. We got a lot of randoms underneath when it's raining, and they're telling us to hold on to it so they can stay dry. We got a lot of interesting people. But the most interesting man at our tailgate spot was the homeless guy that came over once Hash got us the big stereo system, and we're calling the homeless guy Martin. And Dia came up with that name because of MLK Drive. He probably walked down there to get to the tailgate spot. So big shout out to Martin for holding it down with the homeless guy, dancing with Phil, jamming his tune.
Yeah, Martin was the man.
Martin's the man. We've got our most loyal tailgater. There are a lot of people that come out to tailgate week in, week out. We got Stu that kind of made a run. Amanda making some drives. You know, I'm always there setting everything up. But our most loyal tailgater has got to be Hash. All of tailgating, what tailgating's about is being at the tailgate and tailgating. Hash does not even go into the game. He's always tailgating. His mindset's always tailgating. Even when tailgate's over, he's still tailgating.
He is. There can be tickets available for the game. He's just not going to go.
Nope, no need to. Not when you're tailgating. Nope. He's got season tickets to tailgate.
He does.
And we got our big final award, what I'm calling the Torchbearer of 2014. And it's not necessarily the individual that carried the torch more times than anybody else, but it's the individual that had that one performance that stuck out the most. And the winner of this award is getting the award, not because I'm giving it to him, but because at my office, this individual is brought up every time we talk about football season. And his performance at the blackout, then blackout game, with him marching around up and down our seats when no one else is around him. And that individual is actually two people, and it goes out to pay money, and your boy got it.
Yeah, just marching. It's raining. No one else is around. They're just marching and yelling at pretty much no one.
Yep. Those are my awards for this year, and I'm planning on coming back with some good ones next year.
So also, before Garza gets into this season's, Garza every week is going to nominate on the podcast when there's a home game who his prediction for the torchbearer at the tailgate is going to be. So Garza, do you have a prediction for this week's torchbearer?
You know, this week one is always hard. And week one's hard because there's a lot of hype, people. Everyone's excited. It's the first game, at Baylor for people to get excited about. You know, some people making trips to Waco. I haven't been here since last season. And that's going to be the main reason why I'm picking this individual. You know, I thought about going with Hash, but Hash is here this weekend. And we got a lot of other people coming out. Kirch is always making a run in it. But for this game, I'm going with Dub. Dub's got a lot of pent-up, you know, energy in him. You know, he's been out in Iraq. He hasn't been down to Waco in a while. He hasn't been out drinking. I'm sure he's an even bigger lightweight than he's ever been in his life right now. So I'm going with Dub, carrying the torch, coming in hard on Saturday.
There you got it. We got a prediction already. So we have Dub as winning the Torchbearer Award for week one. All right, Garza, so I think you got predictions for under over, so we're going to see if Will's still there because we haven't heard from him in like 10 minutes. So let's go with your predictions. We'll get Will's takes.
All right.
Will, are you there?
Yeah, this is some riveting stuff we got going on.
Chuck, I told you from the beginning, it's going to be more Mike and less Colin Cowherd here.
This is going to be a 2-hour podcast.
All right, guys, what do you got?
All right, my over-unders for this year?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to start off with a pretty easy one, what I'm calling how many games will Evan come to this year? So I sent an actual text out to Evan because I felt like Evan came to a lot of games last year. And it's not you know, normal for Evan. So I texted him just to kind of get a number from him. But in true Murph fashion, all I get was, I don't know, most of them. So I'm setting the over-under at 2.5. Chuck, how many games do you think Evan's going to come to more or less games than that?
Under.
Under. Under 2.5.
Under 2.5. How many home games are there this year?
6.
Does the Rice game count as a home game?
Yes, because it's at home.
Oh, it's at home? Under. I'm still going under.
I'm going to take the over just because I think Evan's going to want to go to UT Texas, and I think he says he's going to go to the Rice game. So I'm going to take 3.
He's not coming this week. We know that.
Yeah, I know. So, like, I got 3 out of 5 of Evan showing up.
Ain't happening, do you?
We'll see. But see, last year may have been a little bit higher because he was dating Taylor at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
You know?
The River
Monster.
You guys
said it, not me.
Yeah, I'm still taking the over. I got faith that Evan will be up a lot.
Evan had ulterior motives.
All right. We're moving on to number 2. River to play in. Number 2. We've got over under Eric holding on to what he calls his 36-hour rule in Waco. I'm setting that also at 2.5.
I'm taking the under on that.
Was the over – so under – he's going to stay longer than 36?
Yes.
Oh, under. Easy.
Easy. Under.
Yeah, no, I think this is a slam dunk.
I would take the under of 1.5.
And here's the rationale. If Evan's not coming to at least 3 games or more, then Eric's definitely leaving sooner.
Hey, you took the over for Evan, though.
I know, but I just think Evan's going to come to 3 games. But I think of those 3 games, they're going to leave at least earlier once of the 36-hour rule.
All right.
So for those listening who don't understand the 36-hour rule, the Twins try to get to Waco, and they only want to be there for 36 hours. So usually it's Friday night, Saturday, and then they'll leave. Or they'll leave super early on Sunday. Or they'll show up Saturday morning and leave early on Sunday.
Thanks for clarifying what 36 hours means.
Just helping out the other people.
Hey, there's people that don't know how to do math. We'll shout out the engineering majors at Baylor.
Hey, some people didn't know I was married yet, so.
Yeah. Dude, how's married life?
It's confusing, right, Domi?
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said, hold on, Dia's married? I'm confused. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought that was Murph.
No, that was you. He's making fun of you.
Ah!
You sent that out at like 2:30 in the morning.
Was I in true love?
You were somewhere. You weren't at home. Based on your text, you were a little inebriated.
Okay.
Very nice.
Well, moving on to the next one. I'm trying to figure out how many girls Hash will actually be able to pick up at a tailgate. And I'm setting that at 1. There's 6 games.
We got to define what pickup means. Does pickup mean grab a number or hang out with them or actually hook up with?
Well?
Hook up with.
Taking the under.
Under.
If it's getting a number, I think you could go over 1 number in a football season. But if it's actually hook up with, it's under.
Under. Yeah. All right.
Under.
Dummy, what do you got?
What?
What are you taking?
Oh, definitely over. I got faith in Phil.
All right.
Okay. All right. Moving on to what I call my last over-under picks here is Kirch, for those who don't know, claims that he's no longer binge drinking after taking a nice little nap on the lawn and getting in the doghouse. So I'm setting the over-under for Kirch binge drinking at tailgates. He's going to get too excited, too hype. LJ's not going to be around. And to this day, Leah has yet to see Kirch sober.
Doesn't know him sober.
We're setting this at
three games.
Well, what's your definition of binge drinking? When you're lightweight like Kirch, three beers is probably considered binge drinking.
Take it how you want. Kirch could be the torchbearer. He could be marching around. He could be passing out in the tailgate spot. I mean, he could have his head in a trash can. We've got a lot of stories that we can't talk about because Kirch would get upset and end up getting cut from the podcast. So we won't go into details. But let's just imagine that it's a lot of yakking and a lot of heads in trash cans and on the lawn.
I'm taking the over on this one. I've got faith in you, Kirch.
I'm taking the over also because, like, when you're out drinking somewhere for usually 6 hours, like, let's just use Saturday as an example. If we're all tailgating from noon to six at least, yeah, you're going to be binge drinking. It may be not like just chugging straight from a bottle, but you're going to be drinking a lot of alcohol.
Okay.
So I'm taking the over also. Because, like, we've all had those moments where, like, we do something we regret and we're like, I'm never going to drink that much again. And then 2 months later, it's kind of out the window. So.
Do you think Phil's ever had any regrets while drinking?
No.
See? No. So we haven't all had that experience.
True. Most people have. Yeah. Maybe not Hash. Sash just
Phil's,
he's having a good
Phil's
time.
A unique man.
Yeah.
All right. So we're done with the over unders, but we've got a couple of other questions here for you guys. Who will be the special guest at tailgates this year? So last year we had two special guests. We had multiple trips by RJ, and we had a very special trip by Nando.
Does Beanwood count as a special guest?
Was Beanwood at our tailgate last year?
Yeah.
Then no.
Okay. So you mean like first time appearance, huh?
Yeah, first time appearances.
Hmm. Does Nate count? No.
He's special mean. Guest being somebody who really didn't go to Baylor and shows up for a Baylor game.
Oh. I think Slim Shady, Brett, he may come with RJ one time. That's my guess.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, no, I'm going to take another dark horse. I'm really trying to get Griff to come up and grill for us 1 week. So I'm taking Griff as the dark horse.
There's no way that happens.
Yeah, it's a dark horse. I think Brett's more likely, but I'm trying to get Griff.
Chuck, you got any input, Chuck?
I got a real dark horse here for you. I got Gotta comes up and brings Beef 2!
Oh, Beef 2!
Beef 2!
You know what? That actually may work out. Like, we might have a tailgate where we tell everybody to bring their favorite entree. And, like, Gatta may show up with some, like, chicken, but he may also bring beef, too.
He might do that. It's all in the wheelhouse, right. You know? Him and Lindsay and beef, too.
Never know.
It's still, like, one of my favorite stories. And then the whole thing where she got stuck in the elevator.
That was Eric. Eric did some fine research to find it. I still don't know how Eric found that video. Like, did he have like a Google alert on B2? Like, that just got sent to him every day? Like, B2 was mentioned?
For those who don't know what we're talking about, one of our buddies, Kirch's brother, hooked up with a girl named B2 at Kirch's bachelor party. And she went to the, not Tulane, but Loyola or something, or one of those schools in New Orleans. And when Eric ended up finding a video of her a couple months later. I guess she got stuck in the elevator in the dorm. And so there's this like whole viral video at their university about her getting stuck in the elevator because she was kind of hefty. And her name was Beef 2.
So, on that note, let's move on to the last one here. Keep this moving here. Which game is Nate going to attend? Last year, Nate was at the TCU game. He brought his girl with him. Big game. Loved it. I know he's coming back. We just got to figure out which game you think he's coming to.
I'm guessing West Virginia. Because it's not late enough for the season to matter, but it's not early enough to be hot. And that's usually when Nate shows up.
Chuck, do you even know our schedule?
Yeah, I got OU.
OU, okay. Okay. I might actually know when he's coming, so I'm not going to guess here. Otherwise, it's just, you know, blatant winning here.
Fair enough. All right, so we got our last ad before we get to the crappy game slate we have this week. So, Domi, you want to read the ad?
Yeah. All right. My ad here that I've got here is, are you tired of drinking Boone's Farm at home? Are you looking for a place that's drinking full beer pitchers as your norm?
Do you want to try chili cheese fries pizza, but only once? Then come to Shorty's Pizza Shack. Great beer, great pizza, and our resident mascot, Jonathan Garrison. Make Shorty's your go-to spot every night. You know, I love that spot right there. They're a great sponsor. I was there today, had two slices of pizza, talked to the owners. Good spot. I like that they're on board here for us.
So three sponsors, three Waco sponsors, really helping out the home team, helping out the podcast. We really appreciate the Olive Branch, Bush's Chicken, Shorty's Pizza Shack, and then Trojan's Condoms that Domi picked up for us. So
yeah, Trojan Condoms. That's not my brand, bruds.
Not my brand, bruds. We're going to have to get a sign for tailgate just for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so getting to the games, we picked
– Oh, is that what we're here for?
It might be. So, well, not this week maybe. So there's 11 games, and they're all really not that interesting. We'll know something about maybe two of them, so this should be entertaining to listen to. So the first game we have this week is Louisiana Tech going to Western Kentucky tomorrow night, Thursday night. The line opened, and West Virginia was a three-point favorite at home. It swung over the last 24 hours. Now Louisiana Tech is favored by one. So Louisiana Tech rolled last week over Southern. You know, the Jaguars are known for their football prowess. Louisiana Tech's reliant on the big play, but when they don't go – they don't have lots of plays over 20 yards. They just can't move the football. Jeff Driscoll of Florida is now their quarterback. Last week, he had almost 300 yards in the first half. They also have a senior running back named Kenneth Dixon, who's pretty much their go-to guy. If he's not running the ball, they're not going to score. Western Kentucky got a huge win on the road versus Vanderbilt, but they couldn't run the ball, and their passing game was just average. They bring back their QB, all their running backs, their top wide receivers are back, and lots of offensive linemen. But the thing with their O-line is they bring back lots of experience, but they're just not that good. So in that game, I'm going to take Louisiana Tech to cover the one. I just think they're a better team than Western Kentucky, although I do like the Hilltoppers mascot. Chuck, Garza, who wants to jump in on that?
Is that how you're picking your people now?
Mascots? When you get down to Bulldogs and, like, the Hilltoppers, which have, like, this weird red thing, you just got to go by mascots.
Lizzie, I am going to ask you, does, like, the past, like, have any effect on your bearings? Because Western Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, got stomped last year. Maybe one of their worst losses in conference history when they lost 59-10 to La Tech. I'm going with La Tech. That's easy.
I took La Tech.
I know.
Okay. Chuck?
Domi, that wasn't in your notes.
You know, Chuck, I've got a little bit of extra for you.
So I know absolutely jack shit about either team. Just because you said La Tech won, what, 59-10 or something like that last week?
59-10, Chuck. Take my notes.
I think Western Kentucky comes in looking for revenge from last year, Western Kentucky to cover.
And Western Kentucky's not coming in for the record. They're at home.
You know what I'm saying.
Chuck, what's the next game on the slate?
It's a good question. That is the Houston Cougars and Louisville Cardinals. So Louisville is coming in off of a tough game against Auburn, where they did cover. They took a beating. I like Tom Herman and Houston to cover the 12.5. I think they have their high-flying offense has a chance to win the game straight up. That's about all I got.
Some good work there, Chuck.
All right, so I'll hop on that. So Houston hired Tom Herman from Ohio State. That's a massive pickup for Coug High. Greg Ward last year was a wide receiver to start the year. He ended up taking over as QB. And he kind of fits the mold of what Tom Herman's looking for. He can run. He can kind of pass well enough for Coug High. So he's also the returning leading rusher. So we'll see how that works out. You bored already, Will?
Apparently Chuck's bored, and I can understand why. He's in what we call, you know, kind of what he grew up in, Houston Choke City. Houston's choking, dude, big time. Just like always, we got the Astros choking right now. We had the Rockets choke like always. The whole city of Houston's choking right now.
Does that mean you're taking Louisville?
Louisville.
Okay. I'm going to take Louisville also just because I don't think that Houston can sustain enough offense to keep it within 12.
Good pick.
Dude, they got a high-flying offense.
Yeah, but their defense is not good.
You just said they don't have enough offense to keep it to score.
They don't. They can score for a half, but their defense is going to give up so many points that they won't be able to do anything. Although, I don't really know if Louisville's offense is good enough to put up a lot of points. I just kind of have more faith in them than I do the U of H defense.
Cougs.
Speaking of high-flying offense, we're going to move into the Bowling Green-Maryland game. We're giving a big shout-out to the old BU coach.
Falcon Dino, Soar.
Not to be confused with Dino Bites, Sally's favorite place to eat. We're working on getting a sponsorship from Dino Bites, but apparently they don't have an actual number to call. Sally, I don't know where you're getting your food from these days.
You should reach out to them.
I don't have any other
like
information than other than just a Baylor comment. That's all I know about hometown hero. I'm taking Maryland on this game.
Will?
I got Maryland. Bowling Green sucks. Baylor's what's the guy's name? Dino?
Dino Babers.
Dino Babers trying to run Baylor's offense. Do you remember when Art Briles came into Waco? It took a while for them to get up and running. Maryland's going to roll.
Yeah, I'm taking Bowling Green to cover. I think they can almost win
Homer.
This game. So last week, Bowling Green played pretty well at Tennessee until depth kicked in. Their defense just can't keep anybody in front of them. Maryland's in a pass-first offense that can't pass, so they got to try to run the ball, but their running back is fumbling issues. So I'm taking Bowling Green to cover.
Yeah, Maryland, Big Ten, best conference, championship.
Analysis, Chuck. Awesome analysis. Domi, who'd you take?
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of awesome analysis, we're moving into to the next game here. The Kansas State, and in my hometown, UTSA, San Antonio, Alamo Dome. Big game for the UTSA Roadrunners. Fans are going to be coming out. They serve beer. They're going to be drunk. They're going to be better off than Kirk's at the end of the game. But either way, I think the most exciting part of this game is going to see what kind of halftime show Kansas State is going to put on after last week's performance. They set the bar up pretty high with the Jayhawk and the Starship Trooper. You know, Kansas just sucking some dick. So, it happens. I'm taking K-State. UTSA doesn't stand a chance, even with a good coach like Larry Coker.
I'm also taking K-State. They can't really move the ball explosively, but UTSA has to replace 30 seniors from last year. They have one of the worst offenses in the country. They can't move the football. I'm taking Kansas State to cover because I trust Bill Snyder.
I'm taking UTSA's high-flying offense. No, I think Kansas State's going to struggle. They lost their quarterback for the year. I think K-State wins.
He ran two plays.
He's out for the year, D-Block.
Okay.
I think UTSA keeps it within the 17. Backdoor cover to lose by 14. I know nothing about these teams, D-Block.
All right, our next game is Washington State going to Rutgers. Rutgers, a two-point favorite. Washington State last week lost to Portland State. They couldn't score, which is weird for a Mike Leach team. They're going on the road, which is just not good when your team's not good. Rutgers can run the ball a little bit. It's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. I'm taking Rutgers to cover and to win because Big Ten football.
Nope, Lizzie. Blizzy, of all teams, I would have expected you to go at Wazoo here. And mainly because your ties to your favorite team, Texas Tech. Get your guns up. I'm taking Wazoo.
I'm torn in this one. I've got Mike Leach, who I think is a great pirate. And then we've got...
I want to get into that in a second. Go ahead.
And then we've got the Big Ten Conference, best conference in the country. So I'm torn, but I think I'm going to lean with... the mad genius that is Mike Leach.
All right, so I want to get into this. Why is Mike Leach known as a pirate? He coached at Kentucky. He coached in Texas Tech, which is not anywhere near water. And now he's up in Washington. Why is he a pirate?
Blizzy, he loves pirates. It has nothing to do with where he was at. It's about where he's at mentally. He's got a pirate mentality.
Well, I might like Zorro, but I'm not Zorro.
You could be if you like Zorro enough.
I might get some comments for that. I'm just walking around like a cape and a little
you
mask.
You quit handing out belly slaps and start slashing Z's on everyone, you might be known as Zorro.
Hey, the belly slap is a tame way to end the Z if you're Zorro.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice little swipe. You're just not going with the Z motion. Chuck, well, the next game.
What are we up to? Georgia Vandy.
Will, we're okay, for everybody who's not looking at the sheet, we're going in order and the games are numbered, and every week so far Will loses track of where we are.
Dude, I have no notes. I'm winging this whole damn thing. So we got Georgia as 20-point favorites against Vanderbilt this week. The Commodores coming off a rough loss to the mighty Hilltoppers. I think that the second year under Derek Mason, they're still under athlete compared to Georgia, but they're more in the right positions. I think Vandy covers the 20. Nick Chubb decides he feels bad for Derek Mason, and they only beat him by 17.
Well, just because of our sponsor, Trojan, I'm just going to let everybody know that Georgia has a Chubby and they're coming to town. They're going to win by 20 or more. Their game got cut short last week. Vanderbilt's still really bad on offense. Their defense looked better, but again, it's Western Kentucky. So Nick Chubb's coming to town. Georgia's going to cover the 20. Give me the Bulldogs.
I'm all in the same way. You got Nick Chubb. There's going to be more Chubb than Griff on some of his paid sites. Vandy covers, but they are losing the game.
Will, the next game.
I'm up again?
Yep.
Back to back?
Next
game we got Iowa State at home versus Iowa for the big State of Iowa game.
Will, describe the atmosphere for that game.
I don't know. They're hanging out in cornfields. I don't know what the hell they do out in Iowa. So we got Iowa.
So it looks a lot like Interstellar.
It looks a lot like Interstellar. It looks a lot like Nebraska. It looks like a lot like Kansas. It's all the same damn fucking state. So we've got Iowa's 3.5-point favorites. Again, from the best conference in the league, in the country, the Big Ten. But not so fast. Iowa State returns Sam Richardson. Heisman, dark horse.
He's dark horse.
Iowa State wins easy.
Wow.
Okay.
Apparently my notes helped you out, Will.
Iowa, 4-4 the last eight.
The last eight games, Iowa has been 4-4. Most of those games, Will, though, that's what you don't know. What you don't know is what's left in that information. Of those games, they were favored. 4-4, I'm going with Iowa State, just like Chucky said, because he's got my notes.
Yeah, I'm taking Iowa. I think Iowa's going to be able to go on the road. Sam B. Richardson. I mean, I think he's the last of the Sam Richardsons. They might get another one next year just to keep the Sam Richardson clan going. But
wait, is that not the same one?
Well, they used to have two. One was a running back, one was a quarterback. The other one graduated.
This is still the same quarterback one, though, right?
Correct. He's the last of the Richardson line.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. So I'm taking Iowa to
Heisman cover. Dark horse.
Yeah, definitely a dark horse. it's hard to win a lot of games. It's hard to win a Heisman when your team's like 2-10. I'm taking
better
Iowa.
Better than 2-10, do you?
Oh, okay, they're 3-9?
4-8.
They're 4-4 in the last eight games, Blizzy.
Okay, so they at least won three games last year. Yeah, I'm taking Iowa to win. I think Kurt and Ferrix is boring, but I think they're going to be able to do enough to hold off the Cyclones. Domi, the next one.
Up next, we got the OU-Tennessee game. OU coming off of a slow start versus Akron. They kind of got off to a Baylor start. Really didn't get going in that first quarter. Baylor came out hot, I guess, in theirs, but, you know, kind of slowed down. But OU got their stuff together. OU probably could have put up a few more points against Akron, but really just brought in their second team. I've got OU on this game. And mainly because we got our boy Stryker. We couldn't figure out how to get this quote coming in from Eric Stryker when he was talking about the SEC. But I do have the quote here where he says he doesn't understand why people blow gas up their ass all the time. He doesn't understand why. Goes on to talk about his hatred for the SEC and growing up in the SEC country. That's going to lead OU on to win. Big 12 finally comes out over an SEC team.
No. Bob Stoops in Oklahoma, 0-4 against ranked teams last year. They go on the road to play a Tennessee team that they destroyed in Norman last year. I think Tennessee comes back with revenge. Also, Oklahoma doesn't make any adjustments on defense. Look at the Baylor game, TCU game last year. Tennessee goes up and down the field all day. Tennessee by field goal.
I don't know. I'm also going to take Tennessee, I think. They just have more athletes. They can get people in space, which is kind of what is going to be the demise of OU again this year unless something changes. Baker Mayfield looked all right last week, but still taking care of the football is a concern of his. I'm taking Tennessee to win. I'm not confident in it, but I'm going to do it. So, our next game, speaking of not confident, Charlie Strong should not be too confident in his job. So, Texas, as mentioned earlier, is going to be in the doghouse of the week. They didn't get the vote of confidence from Steve Patterson, so they're probably also getting like their parking privilege taken away because that's what they do at UT. But Texas is playing Rice at home. Texas is a 15.5-point favorite. Rice is still Rice, and Texas is still not a good scoring Texas team. But, I think I'm going to take Texas to cover probably by 16, 17, just barely cover that. I don't even know if they can score 17 points, but I don't really trust Rice going to UT when Texas knows they're kind of on the hot seat. But what I will actually probably bet on is the over-under is 51. I don't know how that score even gets touched. But I'm going to take Texas to cover the 15.5.
Not so fast, Blizzy. I've got Rice covering, but Rice losing.
Bill?
Great analysis, Domi.
Thanks, Chuck.
I spent
a lot of my energy on the not so fast.
I ain't got much more than that. This game's a snooze fest. Nobody's going to watch or care about this game. Texas covers, wins by 27.
Shootout.
Nope.
You're up, Chuck.
34-7, final score. So you got your under there.
Oh, I don't imagine the overhitting, so we'll see.
Shoot, what's up next?
The only game you wanted to talk about.
Next, we got Sparty, Oregon, the big game of the weekend. We've got Oregon and Vernon Adams coming into Michigan State to take on the best conference in the country and their second best team. Last year, Michigan State gave Oregon all they could handle in the first half. This year, being at Michigan State in East Lansing, Michigan State has already seen the Oregon offense. And kind of a smaller known fact is Oregon's defense has slowly gotten worse after Chip Kelly left. They were the number 13 ranked defense 2 years ago. Last year they were ranked number 28. And this last week they couldn't even stop Eastern Washington. I think Michigan State and Connor Cook win this pretty easily. I say that Michigan State wins by about 10 points.
Chuck, you're a smart, smart man on that pick. I've got Sparty winning. I'm giving a big shout-out to Scooty. Hopefully Scooter's dad watches the whole game all the way through and doesn't miss the fourth quarter like he did for the Baylor-Sparty game. I've got a bold prediction for next year about Sparty. I got Connor Cook coming for Bryce Petty's job next year. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ducks. Yes, Michigan State's playing at home. Yes, they beat a team with a lot of speed last year in Baylor. But Oregon, I just think, is kind of a different animal. Vernon Adams got a concussion last week, so we'll see how he deals with that. But Michigan State was kind of underwhelming playing at Western Mich. And, yes, Oregon's defense didn't look great against Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington, though, is a pretty good team for 1AA. Give me the Ducks.
Dude, this is the big leagues. This ain't 1AA.
Yeah, but where did Oregon's starting quarterback come from?
The minor leagues. Just like baseball, dude. You get called up.
Yeah, you get called up. Everyone keeps talking about Matt Harvey, who's a young pitcher. I mean, the minor leagues is kind of where you get players from.
Dude, don't put us to sleep with this baseball talk.
Anyway, give me the Ducks. I think the Ducks are going to cover the 3.5. So, our next game, LSU going to Mississippi State, our third ranked team game of the week. LSU is a 4-point favorite going to Sparksville.
Stark Vegas.
See, you name it that when you have one good year. So, that's what it's known for. So, we watch games in Waco, Vegas. Leonard Fournette is going to be a stud. Last year he started off strong. The tail end of the year he was only averaging like 3.5 yards a carry in the back end of the games. But I don't really know if that matters. Mississippi State's defense isn't that good. Their new defensive coordinator is Kevin Steele. So those who are familiar with Baylor know how that goes. LSU didn't generate a pass rush at all last year, which will give Dak Prescott a chance to run around. But their secondary is pretty elite with a Texas guy, Jamal Adams, running back there. Brandon Harris is their quarterback for LSU now. I think he's going to be pretty good for him. I'm taking LSU to win and to cover.
Lizzie, LSU is winning. There's no way they're getting close to the over-under. That's all I got to say.
What about the line?
I didn't prepare for that.
So you don't have a pick at all?
I got LSU winning, but I don't know if they're – no, I'm taking LSU winning. They're not,
nowhere close they're winning to 49.
They're winning by a field goal. No one gets close to 49, Blissey.
So the line's 4, so you don't have them covering the 4. But just the 3.
It's not what he said, D-Block.
Not what I said, Blissey. No.
He didn't stutter.
All right, Chuck, what do you got?
Not so fast. Mississippi State wins this game by 3 or 4 points. They're going to be playing at home. I think the big key for Mississippi State winning this game is LSU did not get to play last week. They're breaking in a new quarterback. I think they're going to be having their first game jitters on the road, where Mississippi State, even though they didn't look great against Southern Miss, they kind of worked out the kinks. In football, the biggest improvements teams make are from week 1 to week 2. LSU's on their week 1. Mississippi State's on their week 2. I've got Mississippi State winning the game outright by 3 or 4 points.
That'll work. All right, so now we're going to do our thing where we allocate $1,000 again.
Dia!
Boise, BYU,
come on!
Ooh,
I did miss the biggest game
of the week.
Come on!
Ooh, I did. I deleted that game somehow.
Dia, we've all got this chart in front of us.
I know.
How do you miss this?
We are prepared. I've got notes, Blissey.
I'm reading my own words now.
All right, I'm reading Domi's notes.
Well, Domi did send us his notes for some reason. All right, so Boise goes to BYU. Boise's a 2.5-point dog. So, no, 2.5-point favorite. You're going to Mormonville. The game is Saturday night. Boise was en route just to blow out Washington, and then they let their former coach come back and cover. BYU won on a Hail Mary. Also, in the meantime, lost their starting quarterback. I think I'm going to take Boise to win. I think Tanga Manor is going to play well for BYU but not be able to cover. I think Boise is going to do pretty well offensively and cover the 2.5.
Man, if you watch that Boise State-Washington game, that play calling was the most boring game I've ever seen in my life. BYU is going to win this game outright. BYU by 4.
Not so fast, Chucky. I tricked you with my notes. I knew you'd bite in on that one. I'm actually taking Boise on this game. BYU got hurt quarterback. They're riding the high of the game from last week. They played a shitty Nebraska team. One of the worst teams in your favorite conference. Boise's winning this game for sure.
Domi changed his pick when he found out that Dia told him that the quarterback was out.
Like Chuck last week. Wait, the quarterback's hurt?
Look, tell me about that.
Enlighten me.
Huh? All right.
Come again?
It's time for a $1,000 allocation. Domi, do you know where you want to lay your money?
You know, I went through and did a lot of research, you know, spent a lot of time this week, maybe lost out on a couple of big deals because I was trying to figure out how to allocate this money. And then I sat back down. And I tried to figure out what would Scooty do. And I'm going with straight $1,000 on Sparty. There's no other way to do it. That's why you guys got my notes. Chucky predicted it. Chucky knows what's right. $1,000 on Sparty.
Chuck, do you know what you want?
I'm working on it.
Okay. So while Chuck's working on his, I'll go ahead and do mine. I'm going to put $250 on Georgia. I'm going to lay $250 on Louisville. I'm going to put 200 on La Tech. Last week I did my math wrong, so I'm trying to make sure I get my math right this week. I'm going to put 100 on Bowling Green. And then I'm going to put 200 on the UT Rice under to cover.
Dia, you put all your money on games that nobody gives two shits about. The, like, three good games you didn't put any money on.
Makes me watch the other games. And plus, I'm not going to watch any of these games anyway because I'm going to be out at Waco actually at a game. So it doesn't really matter.
All right, so I'm putting 400 on Mississippi State, 200 on Sparty, 200 on Tennessee, 100 on Houston, 100 on ISU.
Well, there you have it. All right, so next week we are going to tell you how good or bad I did. And everybody else, but looks like I got different picks from everybody, so this should be interesting. And we'll tell you how the first tailgate went. We will get an update on who was the torchbearer of the game, and we'll hear about.
Blissey, you're telling me Will and I had a lot of the picks. Could that be that my notes and Will's notes were the exact same starting this thing off?
Hey, when the guy tells you he doesn't have any notes and hasn't looked anything up, and you send him all your notes, it's no wonder they're all the same.
wait, don't mean I have all the same picks? No, that's not true.
It's pretty close. I don't know. I got to tally him up after this. But anyway, and then we're going to figure out how RJ does this week, and then we will let you guys know how RJ does in our open next week. So we're out of here.
Podcast and didn't yell.
Yeah, I know. I was expecting that.
So, Will, when we send these out on Tuesday nights, what are you doing?
Tuesday night. What was I doing Tuesday night? That was yesterday. I don't really know.
Well, I know what yesterday. You're not doing. You're not looking over the shit we're talking about.
Dude, because I don't give two shits about Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky. Like, who the fuck are the Hilltoppers?
La Tech. Will, save it for the show, Will.
So what was last week's game?
Do y'all hear that noise?
Yeah.
Dang it, that's my chair.
Do you own anything in your house that's not creaky?
This chair is really old.
Will, you're standing up.
Nope.
On the floor. All right, Will, here, since you like literally have no notes, what games would you like to talk about?
I got some stuff for Sparty, Oregon.
For Sparty? It's on game 8!
Yeah, it's game 10. Will's like, I'll be quiet until then.
Okay, dude, well, once we get into, like, real games, I got this thing down. But this is kind of like preseason. It's like watching, like, Charles Martin II get cut.
Who's Charles Martin II?
Isn't that the guy's name that got cut from Hard Knocks?
Charles James. You didn't know his name either. Okay.
Shoot.
God damn it.
Yeah, I got some notes now.
Dang it, dude. I shouldn't have put the whole notes in there, dude.
Domi's notes are my notes.
There's not a lot. The first couple of notes don't give you much. You got Western Kentucky over.
Oh, you have more notes than that?
Oh, you didn't see all the ones up there?
I got your whole right side tells me everything. Tell me, how does Iowa 4-4 in the last 8 games relevant? Does that really help you?
Yeah, it does, Will, because I have goddamn statistics, dude. I've got stats. Do you have stats?
Okay, I'm guessing that's Garza because it's definitely not Gatorade doing that.
Oh, shit. Are we on the mic yet? We're on the horn.
We're on the horn.
Around the horn, Chuck.
So, Domi, do you like our ads?
Your ads are shit. You got me shit, me, dude. I was actually talking to
the guy at Shorty's today. I was like, hey, man, yeah, we're doing a podcast. He's like, really? And he's like, where are y'all doing it at? And I was like, now, you know, just a couple of buddies of mine. And I was like, we've got some sponsors we're working on. And he's like, man, you should give me a shout out. If it's good enough, I'll talk about sponsoring you guys.
That was a good addition. I should have known when you were like, I'll send it to you right before you read it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to put it together. And Will, I kind of thought you were going to be able to get through your bushes one better, but...
No, it was when I started, when I go to that last line, the burning sensation. I couldn't hold it together, dude.
Yeah, just like the real gravy effect.
Yeah, that's kind of why I wrote them all that way. I was like, well, I don't really want to take gives the shits, but I want to allude to it. So,
like, I knew it was coming, and I just couldn't stop.
So again, like last week, I still haven't picked out who I'm putting my $1,000 on.
Oh shoot, I forgot about that part.
You guys are going to love what I'm doing.
So, Garza's putting all $1,000 on Sparty.
Oh, Chuck! Chuck! Damn it, Chuck! Did you read my notes? My favorite part was when you were like, on to the buzz cuts. And you're like, Will, do you want to take that? And then it's silent. And then you're like, Will? And he's like, oh, am I up? And he's like, yeah. He's like, where are we at? He's like, the Wisconsin game. He's like, ah, the buzz cuts.
And then you just go into some tirade about the buzz cuts.
I was like, yeah, D already called them the buzz cuts. Don't repeat it.
Dang it, D, you didn't cut that?
No, it's fucking hilarious. D, I don't give a shit about any of these teams.
save it for the show, Blizzy.